Hey,
Hello, how are you?
how was your Easter?
Oh, my Easter was good. I ate lots of chocolate.
Did ya?
Oh yeah, I love chocolate.
Did you? Now you're a mum. Did you basically were you like, oh well, we have a child, so we need to do an Easter egg hunt, but actually she can't eat eggs, so it's all for
So I'm gonna eat. No, funny story,
us.
actually. So we went to my sister-in-law's for Easter Sunday, and she did an
Nice.
Easter egg hunt. And I'd like to say that I was really good at it and sniffed out all the chocolate, but I was honestly the worst one there. I found one chocolate coin, and then I got donate. They felt so bad for me. Everyone else gave me one of theirs because I was rubbish. I
Were
was
you
the
playing
worst.
against children or was this an
No,
adult thing?
little adults doing
Oh,
it.
okay. Well,
And my nephew.
it's not
Obviously,
as bad.
Lily didn't join in because she's a
No.
bit small,
But were you still like, no, I need extra because I have a child now, even though she can't eat chocolate? I've been in Tesco today looking out the old. Oh, I was looking out for the half price eggs, but they didn't really have any,
Oh,
so
do you
that
know
was
what?
poor.
Yeah, I went into Tesco. To be fair, it was a couple of days before the bank holiday weekend, and it was dire. There was nothing. The shelves were bare.
No.
And
But
I
this is,
know.
I was having this conversation at the weekend. I've been caught out by this a couple of times where I leave it till a couple of days before, then I panic, I go to panic shop, and actually, I think they probably only buy a certain amount because there's none left.
Once they're gone, they're gone. I
Yeah.
was well sad. I was like, oh my God, what am I gonna do? I
No eggs.
still needed to buy some people some eggs, and I felt really bad because I left it last minute, which is unlike me actually. Normally I get the chocolate eggs in quite early, but yeah, no, the shelves
She ate
were
them. Well,
bare.
happy Easter, guys. Shall
Yes,
we get started?
let's do it.
Hi, I'm Hannah.
And I'm Hayley.
And we are your wedding planning experts.
Here to spill the tea on the inside of wedding planning and everything that goes with it.
Expect our honest opinions, the real juice on what happens on a wedding day,
With a few tips thrown in between.
and also just a chat between friends.
And of course, make sure you hit that subscribe button and
And
let's
let's
get
get
you
you
wedded!
wedded.
That was better than last week. Last week was a bit ropey.
Getting better. I'm
We
getting better,
are.
guys.
So you've enjoyed your bank holiday weekend?
I did, yeah, I did. I actually had a weekend off
That
for
is good.
once. Yeah. Worked on Friday, I freelanced, and then working today. We're recording today. It's Bank Holiday Monday, people. But I've said this about 5 times in the last week. Like, bank holidays aren't really a thing in our industry, are they?
No, they're not. If anything, people take advantage of the bank holidays with weddings. They're like, I'll
Exactly.
get married on a Sunday because it's bank holiday Monday. Then you're like,
Guess what I'm
yeah, exactly. Speak for yourself.
Also, the one of the venues I work at does weekday wedding, or I freelance for them every now and again. I'm doing like 5 dates this year. They do weekday weddings, so this time of year for them is so busy because it's half term. So all the teachers want to get married in half term. So yeah, so I've been doing a little bit of freelance for them. I'm literally doing 5 dates this year, but I think 4 of them are in across the 2 week Easter holidays. So yeah,
It's always busy.
busy.
I always find that bank holidays, I used to actually dread them when they came up because I would be so busy with
Yeah,
work.
so busy. I also think, I don't know if you agree on this, but it's like once Easter is out the way, that for me, that's when wedding season kicks in. So like I've got two events that we're planning coming up in April. So it's like go at the minute.
Yeah, same here. So normally wedding season starts like being full
Yeah,
on. Yeah,
at
after
Easter, isn't it,
yeah,
really?
it is. Yeah,
Yeah.
April and onwards, that's it.
Yeah. Exciting, but I can also now officially on the 1st of April say I get married next month.
Oh my God, I know, it's
That actually makes my tummy
crazy,
go a bit
does
funny.
it? Oh,
Yeah,
it's something you ate. No, joking.
What did you eat?
Oh, your hen do's this month as well.
Oh yeah, it is. Yes, it is. Yeah, in 4 weeks. I think in 4 weeks we'll be coming back. Will it be? It'll be over. Yeah. So. Is
Four
it 4 weeks?
weeks.
Yeah, my God. So it's less than 4 weeks till
That's
we go.
crazy. It's
That's amazing.
crazy.
That is insane. Insane. It's just gone so quickly. So, yes. busy, busy times. And the question I have at the moment, what during my wedding planning, is why are bridesmaid pyjamas so bloody expensive?
Oh, really?
That's like the stage I'm at the minute.
Oh, dear.
The last little details. Yeah, and like I bought a white jumpsuit yesterday for the hen. I was told yesterday.
That's cute.
Get an outfit, so I said okay. But yeah, what the hell? They're like 25 quid.
Have you looked in Primark?
I have. Well, no, actually, one of my bridesmaids looked, I think probably for the hen. And yeah. She said they're 15 quid and they are the, why is all bridesmaid pyjamas that horrible satin material?
Oh, yeah.
They just make you hot. And then they had like really tacky diamantes in the back. Apologies, Primark, because I love you, Primark. But I feel like, I also love Primark pyjamas, but I feel like they're really lacking in bridal pyjamas, Primark.
I find that same. Everything seems to be satin. And satin, if you're bigger, it just clings to everywhere you don't want it to cling to.
It just feels horrible. Unless you're actually getting real silk, which no one's going to be paying for that for their bridesmaid. Like, it's just insane. I just want a nice cotton pair of pyjamas for the bridesmaids.
Could do is buy a pair of cheap like cotton ones and then maybe get like, you know, you can print out like the stickers on or something
we
like that.
We were talking about that. But also I just said, do you know what? As long as we're all matching, I'm just going to get everyone matching. Like, who cares?
Well,
say you're a bridesmaid on the back, does it?
Nah, be all right. or get the robes.
Well, I was then going to say that. Do you go pyjamas or do you go robes?
I would just get robes and they can keep, like, I find that I've had robes for people's weddings and I kept mine from my wedding as well. And you can get them on Etsy and stuff. They're actually not that, if you're going to spend 25 quid on a set of pyjamas, I would go and just get a robe for like the same price. Yeah.
Yeah, fair play.
Quite cute.
Fair play, yes. There's a lot going on.
So that's what you're looking for.
That's what my current job is, yeah. But I will say I'm very, very excited because we have a big wedding next week, don't we, Hayley?
We do.
Together.
We do. It's been very busy, all the prep and the lead up to this wedding. It's quite a big one for me. Big one to go back
first
into.
First one, isn't it?
Yeah, this is the first one. I was thinking about this the other day. So obviously, like, I did my last wedding in end of October. Mm.
Which was also with me. That's like the two we've had. We have two weddings together in a year and October and that's your last one and your first one.
Yeah, how mad is that? But I was thinking like, oh my God, it's been ages since I've done a wedding. But really, normally I probably wouldn't do a wedding like between October and like April anyway.
Maybe the odd bouquet and Valentine's. So I do retail and
Mother's Day is a big one. Valentine's Day this year, obviously I had been on maternity, so I hadn't done that. So it's also over Christmas. I was winding down, didn't do as much as I normally would. So I guess it's kind of going back into things. It's like literally, what do they call it? Out of the frying pan into the fire. It kind of is like a bit like that.
Because actually, that is normally what you'd probably do anyway.
Yeah. So it's going back in with
a
nice big one.
I do have a question for you.
Oh, fire away.
Because obviously this wedding next week, we've gone all out on the flowers. I've done their final meeting today. There was a couple of bits. We were like, I was a bit like, do they need it? Do they not? And they were like, let's just have it all.
Have the whole hog.
I did say to them, it's going to look amazing. And actually, her mum said to me before the end of the meeting, is it going to look amazing? Like, just, you know, whatever flowers we need to make it look amazing. I was like, it's going to look amazing. Like, there's a lot, isn't there?
Yeah, it's heavily flowered.
Heavily flowered.
Yeah, there'll be like a main sort of part of the wedding, I would say. They've gone, they've gone all out on the flowers. Yeah.
It's the aesthetic, very important to them.
Yeah.
But how the hell do you work out? Right, we've got flowers in the church. There's 11 tables with centerpieces. There's a top table. There's all sorts going on, right? There's flower meadows. And there's, you know, there's urns and there's a lot. How do you work out how many stems to buy?
Okay, so technicalities. It used to baffle me, to be fair, but I have a system now, a well-oiled system.
Yeah, do you have like a spreadsheet? Like, if it's an urn, I need this. Yeah. I can't imagine you with a spreadsheet.
Can you not? Oh, yeah, no. I don't look clever, but I am.
No, but you're like a creative gal, aren't you? You're not an admin gal.
No, so you see, I wear many hats in this business.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So popping on my admin hat, I get my little spreadsheet out. This is what I was saying. It's like it's weeks of planning that goes into this sort of thing.
Because also it's last minute, isn't it? Like, we've confirmed our order view today.
Yep.
You take final final payment, final order, like 10 to 14 days before, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But so actually, I'm guessing because it doesn't all come until like a day or so before, to, so it's fresh and alive.
Yeah.
But then if you forget something or you haven't ordered enough, like you're screwed, aren't you?
Well, so what we tend to do is you always overorder.
Right.
As well. So you have to make sure that you have enough. Obviously, I work on a spreadsheet, so I work out how much I need. But so, for example, say if I needed like 17 stems, right, of roses, they come in like packs of 25. So you end up with spares because you can only buy them in 25. Some stuff you can only buy in like hundreds, some stuff in 50s, things like that. So you're always getting like a pack of like a certain amount of stems. So you do get like a bit extra anyway, but you'd be silly if you just ordered exactly what you needed, because you cannot even guarantee. So so roses generally come in a pack of 10, a bunch of 10. Sometimes a head or two heads might be broken. You'll have damaged stems. You have to allow for all of that as well. So you kind of want to order you order more than you need. And then also I tend to work. So if I've got a wedding on the Saturday, we start having stock arriving from the Tuesday, cutting and conditioning. You're going to have like three of us doing that because it takes a long time. If you've got roses, they all need to be dethorned. All of the bottom foliage has to be removed, cut, conditioned in the fridge, in storage. And then you'll get more coming on the Wednesday, the Thursday, the Friday. So you're topping up the order as you need it. So if you realize you need more, when it gets difficult is when you're ordering in special stuff. So special variety stuff that they don't perhaps keep in cash and carry. So like if they've ordered a certain color of rose, it might be a certain variety that I need to order like specifically. Then you just need to make sure that you order more than enough so you're not caught out. But yeah, that's how it works generally.
Very complicated. So say you're doing like a bouquet, you know from your spreadsheet, I need that many. And has that just been trial and error over the years?
Yeah, so it's kind of right. Yeah, so you can't. Sometimes I'll look back. Say if I'm doing something similar to what I've done on a previous wedding, I'll look back at what I've previously ordered for that amount. So I kind of know. You kind of work in like odd numbers, so things tend to have 5s, 7s, 9s in them. You don't really like, you wouldn't have like, if you're doing a round arrangement, you would have like 4 of something because it's obviously gonna not. So yeah, you kind of work it out like that. It just, I think over the years, just kind of you work out how much you need.
Experience.
Yeah, you know, I've been doing it now since I left school, so oh my god, it's like coming up 15 years.
It's one of those things, isn't it? But it's like my job probably baffles you and your job baffles me. Like, I always just think, like, I don't know.
How do you do it?
You could do that.
It's all behind the scenes stuff. I think people they don't need to know. They just obviously, I turn up. So that's why I think it's funny when people are like, oh my gosh, I would love to, like, being a florist is lovely. Obviously, it's amazing. You make these great arrangements and the look on people's faces. Obviously, it's creative. There's so many, like, great things about it, and that's why I love it, and that's why I obviously do it. But especially when you're working for yourself, it's actually quite complex. There's a lot of things you have to do
as well, like,
and it's also down to even like the ordering process. So you need to order stuff in certain stages of how open it is.
Yeah.
So you can order different grades. Yeah, it goes like beyond just like, oh, I'll have a red rose. It's like you get different grade of rose, different length of stem for different arrangements, and you just like, you work these things out over time.
But that ordering system must be huge.
Yeah, it is.
Like when you log on to it, it must be massive.
It is. And it's all done on an auction, so you can never guarantee the price either. So this is another thing. You kind of know roughly, but I mean, things have changed since I've obviously been my last wedding in October. I haven't done, and Christmas
things
time.
Things will change,
Things have gone up quite substantially since then, even. So what's that, 6 months?
And now you've got to juggle having Lily on your back as well.
Yeah, and that. No, what's on, Mum? But yeah, no, it is. It's complex, but it is interesting. Like, I like it when people ask me about it because they don't normally. Yeah. So it's nice to have the opportunity to kind of, explain.
They just think you shove some flowers together.
Yeah, exactly. And that is why you should always go with a professional florist.
Exactly.
Someone that is actually experienced in the trade, because they will know what to do.
Yeah, ask them what level qualification they have, the florist, every time.
Every time.
But that's been my week, really, focusing on my wedding, ready for next month.
Exciting.
Easter, freelancing and looking at expensive pajamas and then getting ready for the wedding next week. But it's quite nice. Well, actually, I say it's quite a nice point for me. You know, like everything's kind of done now for me. But then it's kind of not, because I need to go and pick up the order of service. I need to wrap 100 napkins and tie them all with ribbon. I need to get the stationery order in, and then I need to put all the place cards in order per table. It's all like bits like that now.
Yeah, well, this is what we were talking about, weren't it? Well, obviously, going back with the final bits. Someone asked us what it was you would do in the last kind of 3 months, but especially this month before. It'd be interesting each week to see what you're doing for your wedding. So people kind of get
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. Yeah, because I always say the final month is the most stressful. Yeah.
There's 100%. Lots of bits and pieces kind of thing that make up that bigger picture. But I think you definitely, I know I found in that last month, especially the last 2 weeks before, I was kind of running around doing all sorts of bits and pieces that obviously you don't realise. But it'd be interesting for you to sort of each week just let us know what you're kind of doing for your wedding.
No. I will indeed. I mean, a lot of it's blooming appointments. This Thursday I'm coming up, I'm having all my hair extensions put in, because I'm having extensions for the wedding, not for length, for thickness. And I've got my dress fitting. So my first dress fitting.
That's really exciting. So, I can't believe it's come around to that already. I know we were like talking a couple of months ago and you were saying about all these appointments. Now they're coming up. That's so exciting.
But yeah, no, I'll keep note of what I'm doing.
Keep us updated.
And I'll also keep note of what I say now. I haven't got a lot to do for this wedding next week, but I'll keep note. Did you know what it is as well in the last like 10 days is guest dropouts as well?
Oh, really?
And then if the couple want to swap the person out, you need to let the caterer know. And then if it's a dietary requirement, and then obviously the stationery gets messed up, so you have to work that out. And that's probably the biggest thing is guest dropout.
Yeah, you don't realise the sort of like, but yeah, that is annoying. And you always get that though, don't you? There's always like those last minute people that just drop out. And some people can't help it, obviously. I don't know, but it is
normal. I think I see people stressing about it sometimes. I'm like,
you just got to allow for that, I suppose, haven't you? Yeah.
You do. How's your week been?
Yeah, it's been good again. Just, enjoying Easter. Yeah. And also preparing for this wedding. I mean, I say, it's like, obviously all the ordering and things. Yeah. So I like to do a little schedule for myself and freelancers that I have helping, just so we know what we're doing each day. And I try and get it done as much as in advance as possible. Obviously, when it comes down to like the day-to-day working, we kind of like get done what needs to be done, but anything I can do to sort of organize myself in advance is good. So, and especially as it is my first one back, I just want to make sure I'm on the ball, I haven't forgotten anything. So just been kind of doing that, and then I've got a couple of weddings in August that I've booked over the last couple of weeks, I've confirmed. So just kind of finalising a few details, because they know what they want. So just getting measurements from the venues and things like that, so I can send off quotes and things like that. So it has been it's been quite fun, really.
You've got another one this month as well, haven't you?
I've got a wedding at the end of the month. So that's out Northampton Way as well. I do a lot of weddings that kind of way, really. There's quite a lot of venues. Yeah, there's a lot of venues around there.
Yeah, so there is actually, isn't it?
Tends to be where I go quite often. But yeah, that's a nice one. It's not too big, and it's just good to get back into the
from a massive wedding.
It'll be like chalk and cheese.
Everything's quite big for their wedding as well, isn't it? Like their centrepieces are big.
Yeah, they're like big
urns.
Big full arrangements, like full of flowers.
Hydrangeas
blousy blooms. Really, they've gone in with like the aesthetics, like we were saying. Like they're having like really tall centrepieces with, tall vases with
tall
huge centrepieces on top. So,
which are my favourite.
Yeah, so you'll have to, people, keep in touch with us on Instagram, because we'll be posting some photos at the end of the month for that wedding, what they have, so you can see.
100%.
Week's been good, just busy prepping, to be honest with you, so, and enjoying chocolate.
And can you believe we're in April?
No, I can't. I'm sorry, this year is already, how is my child is like over 2 months old now.
That
is just flown by. It's weird.
It really has.
But I am pleased that, because the clocks went forward as well. If you're in the UK listening, you'll know that the clocks
did. I lost an hour sleep. I went happy, I'm not
going to
lie.
Neither was I. Especially when my baby was crying. I lost an hour. It's nice to have lighter evenings, I find, actually.
You are right there. Yeah. Definitely. And actually I'm like, but then darker mornings, but actually it was light quite early, so it's not too bad.
No, it's all right. But spring is here, I think. It's not so
cold. Well, the rain needs to stop, though.
It's weird, isn't it? But then March is...
Yeah, it's sun rain.
Yeah, March is normally quite unpredictable. British.
Yeah, talking about the blooming weather.
There we go.
So, hey, oh, I have got something right in front of me. Look at this. I'll show it to you. I got a stamp made of my cat's face.
Oh, my God.
Look at that. Oh. I'm going to stamp. I've got, like, paper napkins for the evening. I'm going to stamp them all with my cat head.
That's amazing.
I'm going to literally stamp, like, 150 napkins.
I love that. Look at her. Look at her. She's so cute.
Etsy. How cute is that?
What's your cat called?
Mitzi Moo.
Mitzi, that's it. Oh, yeah, so cute. Oh,
so, yeah,
that
was something I did this week for my wedding.
Got my cat's head on a stamp, like you do.
Whether I'll make it to ordering an ink pad and actually stamping them all is another
thing.
Do it.
I'm going to make sure you do, because I love that.
You come round and help me.
Yeah, I don't mind.
So Hayley actually said to me a couple of weeks ago, listeners, oh, we should talk about content creators, wedding content creators. And I was like, I don't really get it, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
And Hayley said, well, let's go away and research. Let's have a little look. So we've got another yay or nay for you this week. Last week it was kids. This week it's content creators. So, we'd talk about whether we think it's a yay or a nay.
So I think the biggest question here for me to start with was, what actually is the difference between someone that's doing content creating to having a photographer and a videographer? So if you don't know, basically content creators, they kind of like doing all behind the scenes of your wedding footage, like getting ready. And they tend to come with like a, it is using their phone, and like, they're just kind of filming you, and then they'll create like reels, and it's all stuff that you can upload to social media, and they sort of stay with you throughout the day, so like in the morning getting ready, or up and obviously throughout the wedding. But I just wanted to know, like, I was kind of confused how they kind of different to basically what a photographer, videographer is offering.
And I'm not gonna lie, I still am a little bit.
The only
thing I could really take from it, and actually, I'm on a Martha Stewart article right now. Oh. And she says the biggest difference between a content creator and a photographer is the deliverables and when they are received.
Yeah.
So photographers shoot on like high-end equipment. They edit the photos. They give them to you months later. Whereas a content creator, the idea is it's you like get content
the next day.
But I do think, like, is that seriously what the world has come to, that you can't wait like 6 to 8 weeks?
I think it is. People are. They are. I don't want to say impatient, but I think, like, the way that people get their content these days, everything is instantly accessible.
Yeah.
And I think people are so concerned about how they kind of look online. Not everybody, but a lot of people, they want to, you know, everything's got to look the best, and they want to be uploading like everyone's turning everything into a reel. Like, I've done it, don't get me wrong, like I've done it with like my own things online, and I think they just kind of want, like, they can't wait because they want to be like, look, I got married, look how amazing it was, like straight away. And I think that's kind of, but that to me seemed like the only like USP that they were kind of offering was that, that you get the content literally the next day, like you're not waiting 6 to 8 weeks for it, kind of thing.
But then your photographer always sends you a little like gallery, like you know,
your
snapshot.
Previews. Yeah.
Yeah, like a few photos, like a couple of days later.
Yeah, we got ours like the next day.
Yeah, I do think, like, personally, I think I'd rather wait 6 to 8 weeks and have a nice edited picture than have one off an iPhone.
Well, this is the
thing. I don't know. Maybe if I actually like saw it, I haven't had any couples have one yet. This trend seems to have just gone mental, like in the last, I feel like it's really gone in the last couple of months. So it'd be interesting to see if I start getting couples request to have one. But I think what's a real shame for me is, and like I say, I don't know if it's like our generation, or we're a bit older.
Speak for yourself. I'm not even 30, thanks.
From reading it, everything, when I'm reading ads from, so I looked at articles from photographers, I looked at articles from content creators, I looked at like wedding planner articles comparing the two. But when you actually look at a content creator advertising themselves, a lot of it is very much down to, oh, you know, we can make you go viral. And we can, you know, we know what people want to see online. And, you know, we we give you content that, you know, can be in a reel and is the right size for Instagram and the right size for TikTok. And I just think, really? I just don't get it.
I don't know why you would want your own wedding to be accessible for, like, the general public to view. You know, I can understand, like, with a wedding video for yourself, like, you want to keep that. That's your memories. You look back with your family and friends. But I don't know why you would feel the need to go viral
for,
with
randomers.
Your...
Exactly.
For
and
your,
why would you...
To get the appreciation of random anonymous people. Yeah. And
why
again,
do you
want to
go viral?
I think it taps into... Like you say, with this generation now, where everybody is so concerned about what other people think of them, and I really don't think it's healthy. Like,
no, well, then we should be promoting the service. Like, what?
I know, and this is why I think, actually, if I'm honest, I don't really know why it's become like another service, because.
Yeah.
They also say that it's to stop, like, family and friends having to be out with their phones and filming you themselves, so they'll capture it all for you.
But you shouldn't have to anyway, if you've got a photographer and a videographer.
Well, exactly. But what's wrong with how things have been done for the last, like, God knows how long? You know what I mean? Like, what's wrong with that? And I just think it's another way of, like, making money. But I really don't know why, if you were having a photographer and a videographer, why you would seriously need somebody following you around with their phone in your face. Like, look, can we just get this for the gram? Like, it's basically it is, you know?
Yeah. And also, from some of the stuff that I saw people describing themselves as a content creator, they were like, you know, the way that we're different to a photographer is we capture the back end, you know, the stuff. We're basically your guest's eyes.
Yeah.
But then when it actually breaks it down, it's like, oh, yeah, we capture your first dance, your speeches, your... And I'm like, that's what a photographer in a video... Like, what do you want to see from your day that your photographer and your videographer don't capture?
Yeah.
And the only thing that I can see is that it's an extra camera. But then if you're that bothered, just have an extra for shooter.
Yeah. Pay for a second shooter. What's that going to cost you? Like £250 to £300, something like that extra? Because this is the other thing. They make it difficult for you to find out how much they are. So a lot of the time I've found with photographers and videographers, you generally go on their website and they have packages and you can actually see how much they charge. I actually struggled to find any of the content creators local to us that would put their prices online. You had to inquire. Yeah. But I think you said you'd found...
Yeah, I found one. It was between like £500 and £800. And I've also seen quite a few people promoting this service on Facebook groups. And that's a similar price. But I think that's a lot of money. And
it
Sam,
is.
Actually, I was saying to you earlier that I've seen what I'm seeing more and more come in is when I'm getting quotes from photographers is when they send me their brochure for my client, they have an option in there to add on content creation. So they obviously then use one of their team to get content
to
creation.
Do that.
But some of them go up to like £1,500,
£2,000. That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money just to try and get a viral Instagram post.
It is really. Like, I mean, I know when we got married, so our photographer put a reel on Instagram like the next day or so. And we really loved it. It was really nice.
Yeah,
and then she started doing it for a few other... I noticed she was doing it for a few other couples that was working with. Now she does offer it because she obviously had an uptake. And people say, we love the reels. We love what you're doing. But I just don't know what the difference...
It's part of your job.
But surely you could take the like clips of your video that you get from your videographer and clips of your photos, upload them yourselves and create your own reel. Or you create your own TikTok.
But also, photographer, I do think that's a bit cheeky because let's face it, yes, it's lovely for you to see, but the reason that she posted that reel the next day is for her own marketing. She wants people
promoting
to go
herself,
on her Instagram. She's tagged Stowe. They've probably shared it. Anybody else who was involved in that day probably shared it. I probably shared it. She's then getting extra people that see it. That's helping her. So she shouldn't be charging.
And for that luxury, I will charge you $1 million.
I'm going to start doing that. Right, guys. I will post a picture of your wedding on my Instagram if you pay me. What?
It is crazy.
I was quite... Me and Hayley were out for lunch, actually, with one of our very good friends who's a photographer recently. And I kind of said to him, like, does it... Because if I was a photographer, I'd be pissed off. Because I'd think, like, a lot of these people are advertising themselves as, you know, we're bloggers, we're content creators, because also they could write you a caption Yeah. Laugh, you know, that could help you go viral. And I think, like, you know, when you look at, I could take a picture of someone's wedding on my iPhone and look at it and think, oh, actually, that looks quite good. You put it next to the professional and it's not good at all.
No.
So I think if I was a photographer, I mean, he straight away said, look, it's a completely different thing.
Yeah.
But I would think, like, if people are suddenly going to start going, oh, actually, a content creator is half the price, I'm going to go for that. That would annoy me.
Yeah, that would annoy me as well. I feel like it's again, it goes down to, like, when, for me, if I was going to compare it to something, it's like when you get venue decor people, prop hire and things like that, when they claim that they do floral centerpieces, yes, and will decorate wedding bouquets. Yeah, and they call themselves that. It's the same thing. It'd be like someone doing this content creation that's like, basically taking work from people that are professional, trained photographers, you know? It's the same thing.
Yeah, and actually saying that, I can kind of see why photographers are starting to offer it, because they probably are concerned.
They'll just take it. Yeah.
Yeah, people are going to do that instead. But I also do think, Ryan, I was thinking about this again earlier, is if you cannot afford a wedding photographer in your budget, you're either budgeting wrong or you're getting married way too soon before you can afford to.
It's a massive part of your wedding day.
100%.
You need the
photos. Or you're prioritising shit that you don't need. Because, them photos, it sounds really corny, but they last a lifetime.
They do.
And, like, you're going to have them forever.
I mean, I was looking back at my mum and dad's wedding photos when I was getting married. You know, they got married 30 years ago and we were looking back at, you know what I mean? There's photos that you have for forever.
Forever.
Obviously, it's all printed out. You're going
to show your kids.
Yeah.
Kids, grandkids. Yeah. Exactly. Like, Lily was not at their wedding. Well, you weren't at their wedding either, I'm guessing.
No, so you look...
You know, she'll be able to see them... 30 years ago, you did tell me earlier. You know,
I was like, no, I wasn't there. I wasn't there at all.
I was not there. I'm not that old.
The other thing I noticed as well when the content creators are advertising themselves is they say that they treat you like the VIP that you are, will follow you around, and it just makes me cringe hard. Like, my toes curled up.
Yeah.
Like, you can just, I have to say, like, I don't want to go, I'm going to have to go in here, but I feel like you've got to kind of love yourself a little bit. Like,
yeah.
You got me on it. Like, literally, you want, like, I just treat you like the VIP you are.
Like, your wedding planner will treat you like the VIP. Getting you your champagne and stuff. Your photographer will make sure you got the lovely shots. Like, that's the job of other people. I also feel like we're in the world, the day and age at the minute where all I ever hear people say, and I've said it to my own photographer, is I want very much fly on the wall. We don't want to stand to do the lined up shots. We don't want pose stuff. But then with a content creator, they're in, like you say, if
they can be in your face.
It's like they're in your face.
Yeah, like, oh, so, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Let me get, you know what I mean?
Let me get, this will go viral on TikTok, baby.
You're going to go viral.
I captioned this right up. On the flip side, I would say perfect for businesses, because when you're so busy, like you next week, right, you're going to be absolutely slammed, bring them flowers in and out. But if you had somebody filming like what you actually do, like why you need a qualified florist, like, and then the after, you're so knackered, and that room next week and it looks incredible, it's going to be like all finished during the, you know, I'm going to be at the church, then it's going to be straight into the drinks reception, I'm going to be far too busy to get any kind of like content.
Decent,
so in that respect, amazing.
Yeah, see, that's a really good point actually you made, because I've got a friend who's a florist and a wedding florist, and she actually pays a photographer to come and like take photos when she's done. She puts like, and she gets amazing high quality photos that she can then use in her portfolio. And I think I went and got like one of these Google phones because the camera's meant to be really good, but it's all well and good having a great camera on your phone, but it's the time, you can't be everywhere.
Exactly.
Like
busy. And also it's still never the same as a professional photographer, is it? And also the thing is as well, is you can't guarantee you're going to get the photos from your couple, and also even if you do get them, they're not there to focus on getting photos for you, are they? They're there to focus on the couple. So again, like when the room's ready, yes, they'll come in and get a few photos of the room, but that's not their main priority. So yeah, from a business point of view, it kind of makes sense, because you know what it's like, you do this incredible wedding and you get the gallery back from the
photo,
like, oh, there's not many of the the setup. You know, that's, for us, that's our bread and butter, exactly.
Yeah. You're like, oh, need that. Yeah. So I can see how it would be useful for that situation and that scenario. Like, I just feel like if you're offering it for couples for a wedding, I just don't know what it is, but I do kind of feel like it's an unnecessary spend for couples.
And do you know what? That was the kind of consensus at the end of a lot of blogs I read, that this is an unnecessary expense. But do you know what? If there's any content creators out there that want to come on and tell us that we're wrong, feel free.
Yeah, feel free. But, you know, it's a nay here.
Yeah, for me, it's a nay. None of my couples have ever been that into Instagram. If anything, they're probably the opposite. And they're like, oh, you know, can you not use pictures of us? Because, you know, we're quite private people. And I just, whether that's, like I say, that's our generation, and whether like the early 20s people that are getting married, like, want that. But I just can't imagine it. Like, oh, yay, I'm going to share all these pictures and videos that I've paid a grand for to my 100 followers. Like,
yeah, exactly. It's going to go viral. Yeah, exactly.
And if you actually are an influencer, then yeah, fair play.
Well, yeah, okay, yeah. So that's, but then I suppose if you are an influencer, you've probably got someone that's doing that for you anyway. You wouldn't hire, like, you're probably just doing it yourself, you know? I don't know.
I think the consensus is nay. Make sure you've got a budget for your photographer and videographer.
Yeah, just spend more. Lovely. If you've got an extra money in the pot and you're thinking of doing that, why don't you just ask for an extra shooter to get that extra content, and then they'll sort it all out for you. I mean, I'm sure that your followers can wait for more than 24 hours.
Get some extra flowers, hey, Hayley.
Yeah, exactly. Spend more money with your florist, but obviously qualified florist.
Should we go into the listeners' questions?
Yeah, let's do it.
Do you want to do the first one?
Yeah, so we've got here, what is a useful and wanted bridesmaid's gift?
This is a good one.
Yeah.
This is a good one because I've been a bridesmaid a few times, and I'm not going to lie, I've probably never used what they got me.
Yeah. Oh God.
Yeah, here first. Could you not wear your bridesmaid? Nice, you know, personalised stuff that probably, you know, it's not like I'm like, oh, amazing. Like,
wow,
I'm gonna use this again.
So with my bridesmaids, I actually got them the jewellery to wear on the day.
Perfect.
So I bought them all, I think I bought them, I can't remember if I got them, it's just really bad, I should remember, but I don't know if I got them bracelet or earring or something. Yeah, anyway, it was a piece of jewellery that they'll wear again. Yeah, and I told them all, don't worry about buying anything, I'm going to get you this, don't buy any jewellery. Nice. And that was it. And I got something that was, it was silver, it was generic, you know, they could wear it again.
I like that. Yeah, I think for mine, it's like, you know, I've paid, you know, they all said to me, I would love to have her makeup done, we'll pay for that. And I was like, no, absolutely fine, because I want you to have the experience. So I want them, I've paid for our accommodation the night before.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy us all, like, you know, whatever we buy for dinner and breakfast, I'll pay for all of that. I've paid for their hair and makeup. I want them to come and have a nice experience, a nice relax. I'll buy us all a face mask, all those kind of little bits and bobs. But that to me is their gift, is their experience. They've come, they're part of it. And I think at most, you know, maybe, you know, if you are like our couple next week, I said to them, you know, you've got 11 massive centerpieces to give away. You are going on honeymoon 2 days later. So they've worked out and, you know, they're going to give one to all of their bridesmaids.
Yeah.
Gift. You know, if it's flowers or something like that they can take home and be like, oh yeah, that's nice. It reminds you of the wedding. But I don't actually think, I think there's so much unnecessary stuff out there as a gift. And yes, it's nice to say thank you, especially as, you know, like the two of my bridesmaids have spent a lot of their time planning the hen do, and I'd like to send them something to say thank you. But yeah, I do think there's a lot of unnecessary stuff.
Well, you end up buying, like we said before, that sort of wedding tat, you know what I mean? Like, wedding, you just tat. That's what it is. I just think if you can get someone something, either, like you say, pay for them, like the meal, accommodation, things that they don't then have to pay for, and you're not putting them up for the night, things like that. I think that definitely is more appreciated, I would say, than something that they're going to not use again.
When what I think is ridiculous is when a couple get the bridesmaids to pay for their hair or makeup, but then they buy them a gift, and I'm like, just pay for their hair and makeup.
Yeah, yeah, because they would appreciate that more, I feel, because they're not having to spend that money out themselves, which they might not be able to perhaps afford. They're stretching themselves to kind of.
Yeah,
to do,
exactly.
So,
then it's like,
yeah.
And then you're receiving some pajamas and some slippers. I think if you've got enough budget to pay for everything for them, their dress, their hair, their makeup, their accommodation, and then you want to buy them something as well, lovely. Then go and buy them something that they won't use. Katie Loxton has some lovely stuff on there, some like personalised bridesmaid bits. But yeah, I personally just wouldn't go. If I was a bridesmaid and somebody didn't buy me something, but I had that experience of my hair and makeup and stuff, I wouldn't sit there and think,
no,
she hasn't bought me nothing.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect anything.
No, I'd just feel grateful that they asked
that
me.
Me, and they've probably paid for my dress and as well.
Yeah.
Like, that's the other thing. So, which, you know, we did say you should do if you're going to ask someone to be a bridesmaid. But yeah, I do agree. I think if you're sort of going to be staying somewhere the night before, like just to pay for that accommodation and then like your dinner or something, I think that's absolutely more than enough.
Yeah. Have a nice night together.
Yeah.
Do that. This is all about memories. Memories are so much better than presents.
Material things.
I'm that with everything, with Christmas, birthdays. I'm like, I'd much rather pay and do something with
you
than buy you something that you could just buy yourself.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree.
Lovely. Next question. Should we invite more people than we anticipate? We want a wedding guest count of 100. We are assuming some people will decline the invite. How many people on average will decline / no show on the day? Is it better to just invite the exact amount, or is there some wriggle room to be able to invite more people assuming some won't show up? I'm writing a tentative guest list and so far I'm at 120. My fear is that if it will be a low crowd because a lot of people then don't show up or don't RSVP yes. But I'm also worried if they, let's say all of them do RSVP yes, we would be way out of budget. So tricky.
Oh, yeah, that's quite interesting. I never would have invited more than I thought, because some people might drop out. Surely you're only inviting people that you want there, not just for numbers.
And
to
I've
bulk
seen
up.
This badly go wrong, right?
Oh,
me and Hayley did a wedding together actually in 2022. They did this. They over-invited. They were like, it's fine. People have got to fly in. They're not going to all RSVP. Then people are RSVPing. And we got to the point where we were like, no more people can fit in the room. And they was like, but my brother and like really close people to them still hadn't RSVP'd. And
oh,
it became
God.
A real issue.
Yeah.
My thing is to always say you want 100 people, invite 100 people. When you start getting your RSVPs back, if people start declining, I mean, you send your invites out 4 to 6 months before is what you always say.
Yeah, yeah.
People, especially if you do a wedding website, they pretty much RSVP pretty quickly, especially if they're not coming. If they know they can't come, we had a few people can't come to us because they're on holiday or whatever. They RSVP pretty
They'll let you know.
They're like, we know
we're busy,
Then send out, because you don't then send your evening invites until a little bit later. So then, put, you know, have a plan B list. That's what I always say. Have a B list. So send someone off your B list, then a day invite. And then, you know, and then lovely. They wouldn't have even known that they got bumped up, because you probably at that point wouldn't even send out your evening invites anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I'd be quite cautious. And also, I wouldn't overestimate. I wouldn't ever give a number of, like we were literally talking earlier, oh yeah, you do have people drop out the week off, but I wouldn't want to put a number on that. I wouldn't want to say, around 5 people normally drop out. Because we do have weddings where nobody drops out. You know, the wedding next week might not have any, I'll report back, but they might not have anybody drop out. So I would... those people are just a loss. It is what it is. You're never going to have like 10, 20 people drop out on the day you would like to think. So
exactly.
Even if you drop down from like 100 to 96, like it's not the end of the world.
Yeah, it's fine. And I do feel like maybe this is coming from a place where they don't want to look like they want like to bulk up numbers.
Yeah.
So it looks like they've got loads of people there. But I just think, like, for me, you're inviting, like, if I know 50 people, I'm going to invite 50 people. I'm not going to invite 60 because I want the extra people to make it look like I've got more friends. You know what I mean? That's kind of how I think that looks. But, like, you know, you can't magic up people and, you know,
like
your wedding
you
look
seem
busy.
Very adamant on having 100 people, and I don't really understand that. Like, having 90 people doesn't feel much different to having 100 people.
No. That's a lot of people.
Yeah, that's also a lot of people. Like, I don't know, 100 people.
No.
Anyway, yeah,
it's going to cost you less.
Yeah, exactly. I do think there's that whole concern as well of, like, people feel like they can't invite someone to the evening and then be like, oh, somebody's, you know, a week before, someone's dropped out, like, we've invited you this evening, we'd love for you to now come to the day. People, I think, feel bad to do that, but I've had people say that to me, and I'm like, yeah, great, lovely.
Yeah, lovely. I'll come to the day, yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I wouldn't take that as an offence. Like, oh, I was on the reserves list. Because actually, I'd think, well, they've probably got another 50 people coming in the evening and they've chose me to upgrade.
Yeah,
I'm going to upgrade. So getting a flight upgrade, yeah. You know?
Exactly. Free meal. Nice.
Amazing. So yeah, I would invite either. 100, start getting your RSVPs in. If you have 5 people say, oh, we can't come, invite another 5, keep doing that until you get to the point where you need to send out your evening invites, which is about 3 months before, and then yeah. Do you agree?
I would agree. I honestly would never invite more people than I thought, just to make up numbers.
Yeah, because that is
for job up,
dangerous
job
in the day.
Yeah, if they all come, you're going to be way over budget.
Yeah, the evening is a different kettle of fish, because I always do say to people, it's like when we do catering, I always say, only cater for 80%. Because when people say to me, I'm going to have 100 in the evening, I can guarantee I'll probably only count 80 to 85 on the night. Yeah. They say they're having 50 in the day, and they're having, say somebody says to me, I'm having an extra 50 in the evening, I guarantee only about 40 will turn up. Because there's always, you know, when you're an evening guest, you don't feel as bad to be like, oh, the kids are ill. Or,
yeah, oh, I can't make it. Yeah.
Yeah, because everyone knows you're just turning up for a bit of buffet or a bacon roll. Like, you're not, it's not like they're paid for a 3-course meal.
No.
So I would say when this the evening, then yes, you can be a little bit more like, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Flexible on people. And also, you don't need to pay for all 100% for your food anyway. In your budget.
No.
Because it just ends up getting binned.
I mean, we were lucky everybody came to the evening. We only had, I think, 1 dropout on the day.
Two dropouts. How many entries did you have, though?
30, I think.
Oh, okay. That's quite good.
I think it was about 30.
I'm really struggling getting an evening guest at RSVP.
Really?
And I hear a lot of people say that, yeah.
I suppose, yeah, I wonder if you're an evening guest, like, whether you feel like you need to RSVP. But if you've asked them to RSVP, then they should obviously do that. But yeah, I did. I sent out separate, like, I did exactly the same. I suppose you have as well, like, we did exactly the same invite paper, like the folded card and everything, really nice invite for day guests, and evening guests got the same one, but it was just like, come to the evening.
Yeah, maybe it's because they just think, oh, they're leaving it till they know what they're doing or something.
Yeah.
Because it's just the evening. But I don't know. It's still annoying.
It is annoying.
Well, I need to know how many pizzas I'm ordering.
Yeah, let me know, people.
We're actually thinking of changing it, because we were going to do, like, you know, you go up to the pizza van, you order your pizza, and they give it to you in a box. But they actually also offer where they just lay them all out on a buffet. And I am actually tempted to do that, just because it's so hard to know how many to cater for. And then actually, on the day, it's not too bad, because you're not... Like, say someone rocked up and they're like, oh, we've run out of pizzas, and you can't have a whole pizza, and everyone's had a whole one, you've had nothing.
Yeah,
it's a buffet. You know,
that's what my friends did at their wedding. They the pizza van just made loads, kept making loads of pizzas and just like churning them out, and people were just taking it out off of it was like a buffet, like you say. So they had about 120 in the evening.
I'm like, well, if 60 people are coming, I need 60 pizzas, because everyone's gonna have a pizza.
Yeah,
he's not gonna have a pizza. Like,
who turns down a pizza? Yeah, no friend of mine.
Also, I did also think, like, the amount of times I go round at weddings, and I did one the other day that had their evening food. I thought about it then as well. People leave half of the pizza in the box and just sits, and then it goes in the bin. So, yeah, you don't want that. Cool. Well, I think that's us for today. Keep sending in your questions. We love to answer them. We also want some more Am I the Arseholes, because we like them. You can email us at letsgetyourwordpodcast@gmail.com. Follow us on TikTok. Follow us on Instagram. Send us in your messages. Send us in your questions. We want to hear funny messages as well, like funny things that have happened to you during your planning or on your wedding day. And yeah, we'll speak to you next week. Thanks, guys. Bye.